Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Another edition of At Home with Victoria. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the show tonight. I am Victoria Gaither, your television host as well as journalist. And, guys, you know, I'm always excited about every single show that we do. But tonight's show is also very special to me because we're going to be kind of discussing a topic that has been in the national news lately and also on many, many, at least of our fans and listeners' mind. And we're going to be talking about bullying. You know, it's one of those things where you cannot turn the television on, whether it's national or your local news, and, you know, see a very unfortunate and sad story about somebody being bullying. So that's sort of what we're going to talk about tonight with a wonderful young man who has an absolute lovely spirit. His name is Mike Ruiz. Now, Mike was actually a model. So one of these days, and he's going to tell us the story, he picked up a camera, so now he is a professional photographer, and I guarantee that you have seen all of his work all over the place because he is one of those photographers who has the opportunity to shoot a lot of your Hollywood favorites on the red carpet and all the, you know, Hollywood folks that we see out there, so we're looking forward to talk about that. But the flip side of that, and I was telling Mike before we even started the conversation, that I'm so excited that people like himself and of his caliber is out there working on this whole bullying situation. So he is very much involved with the Trevor Project, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. And for those of you that don't know anything about the Trevor Project, I'm excited for tonight's show because you'll have the opportunity to learn about the Trevor Project, but more importantly, you know, to learn what you can also do within your communities that we need to, you know, kind of stop this whole bullying situation that's going on, not only even in the U.S., but this is something that's happening around the world. So with that said, I am going to bring in the one and only Mike. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us tonight on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here.
Did I do a good enough introduction for you? Did you like that?
You did. That was spellbinding. I'm speechless. I don't know. I don't know what I could possibly say to follow that fantastic intro.
Well, I have to tell you, the news lady certainly tried her best. But before we start talking about the Trevor Project, of course, I have to gush all over you and all the wonderful work that you do. So I know you started off being a model. What was that like for you?
It was difficult at times. It was great. It afforded me a lot of really unique opportunities. You know, a lot of travel opportunities, and I got to do a lot of things that I probably wouldn't have had the opportunity to do. but it was difficult because, you know, coming from, you know, I'm going to the, you know, back to the Trevor Project and the, you know, the whole bullying scenario. You know, when I was younger, I was bullied, you know, to a very high degree for many reasons because I was ethnic and I was, you know, slightly chubby and I was slightly effeminate, and I got the, you know, the crap kicked out of me pretty regularly. So when I when I was an adult and I started modeling, you know, I had a lot of baggage from my childhood, you know, and a lot of like self-esteem issues and stuff, which is one of the perils of bullying, which is, you know, needs to be addressed, the long-term effects of bullying, you know, which I'll get into in a bit, but, you know, it just, the residual effect from that, you know, like I went into the business, the harshest business to go into.
Yeah.
When you have self-esteem issues,
mm-hmm.
you know,
because
you're being, yeah, because, you know, I was being judged, you know, on something that I had no control over.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was difficult, but it taught me a lot. I mean, you know, it taught me a lot about how to detach from external things and to kind of sort of define myself inwards, inwardly, you know, as opposed to by, you know, by how much money I had or, you know,
sure.
How many, you know, premieres I went to, you know. So, like, I it taught me how to really sort of nurture myself from within. So, you know, from that standpoint, I mean, that's a very philosophical. You probably wanted to hear all the glamorous stories
no.
of how I was
no, well,
jetting
well,
around the world with Donatella
well, no,
Versace.
I know don't say that, because I know eventually all of that is going to be talked about within the context of this whole conversation. But
yeah.
But since you started that, you know, something, of course. The stuff always just pop into my mind. That's the type of person I am. It is interesting, though, and has this been something that you have sort of wrestled with and thought about yourself, experiencing that type of bullying when you were young, and then to turn around and choose a career or to go into a career where you put yourself out there like that to literally be judged?
Yeah, it was tough, you know. Like, it's funny, in hindsight, like, I realized that something was motivating me to make, you know, these series of choices that kind of led me to where I am today, where I'm in a position emotionally and, you know, and professionally to
mm-hmm.
to kind of lend my voice to, you know, to helping, you know, the generation that is now suffering the brunt of all the bullying. So, you know, I what was the question?
I was talking about how interesting it is that growing up that you were bullying and then you chose a career in terms,
oh, yeah,
in a
yeah.
model where you're really putting yourself out there to be you know, to have criticism
right.
thrown at you
right.
all the time.
Yeah, it was an ironic choice, but to a certain degree I felt like I needed to do it to overcome all of
okay.
those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I need, you know, like, I also, you know, I think it's just the way I'm wired. Like, when something, I'm afraid of something,
mm-hmm.
I feel the need to do
face
it. Yeah, like, I was afraid of heights, so I went bungee jumping off the Victoria Falls Bridge in Africa, you know, 400 feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I went, you know, skydiving, and, you know, so, like,
right.
Those are just like a metaphors for, you know, for overcoming a lot of things,
mm-hmm.
you know. So whenever I was fearful of something, I think subconsciously I put myself in that, you know, in that position to overcome those
absolutely.
Fears.
Absolutely,
and
you
it
know,
was very effective.
And you know what's interesting about you, because obviously that is your personality and that's what you do. Now the flip side to that is other people, for example, go in different directions. So, you know, some people could end up on drugs, some people could end up being an alcoholic, you know what I mean? Other people
yeah.
that kind of stuff manifests itself in other areas of your life. So I just think that's a tribute, and that's amazing to you that it manifests itself where you are the type of person that wanted to take on that challenge head on and kind of wrestle with it, deal with it, and then move on from there, which is very cool.
Well, yeah, you know, and with that said, you know, like I did struggle with a lot of stuff, and I you know, I had some very dark times. You know, I don't want to make it sound like I I plowed through everything and overcame everything effortlessly. You know, it
mm-hmm.
wasn't effortless. I mean, there were years in my young adult life where you know the brunt of my childhood just kept manifesting itself, and it was you know, there I had some pretty dark times,
okay.
you know, emotionally, and I think it's important to convey that, just to, you know, because I don't want it to seem like I had this happy-go-lucky life, like I had a few unfortunate incidences
right.
as a child, and then you know, I just moved on from it. You know, it took
mm-hmm.
a lot of effort to move on, and that's like the really important message to convey, is like the long-term effect of you know, the destructive effect of compromising somebody's self-worth by
yeah.
trivializing them and making them seem less than they are. You know, it's just
yeah.
it's heartbreaking, and you know, and I think you know, there are a lot of ways to anyway. I don't want to go off on too many tangents simultaneously, but you know, there I think it really needs to stem from the parents, from parents and
absolutely.
Teachers,
absolutely,
because kids, you know, I mean, the reality is you know, kids are the product of adults,
yes,
and they're behaving based on what they're taught. So
yes.
It really needs to come from parents. So parents need to learn to recognize certain behaviors in kids where, you know, where they're being oppressive or they're undermining their siblings, or, you know,
mm-hmm,
they need to
mm-hmm.
learn to recognize that and intervene.
And correct that early, yeah.
Yes.
And, yeah, I know that I completely agree with you on. And you know, I often think sometimes that people sort of take that lightly when you just said, kids really do mirror their parents, and they simply do what their parents, you know, do and other people do. So you really have to be careful in terms of what you teach your kids, because kids are literally just sponges. I mean, every single thing that you do, they absorb it, and then I think they absorb it maybe 10 times worse than what you have it, and they base their lives, based on that. And I've seen that just many, many times, being a television reporter and also a news anchor, and have the opportunity to interview a lot of people. But one key point that I don't want to miss, and I never thought about it, but you just said it, when you talked about parents need to be more aware of their behavior, even within their own family, of their sons and daughters, and the way that their sons and daughters treat each other within that whole context. So, like, if you have a son who's constantly, I don't know, bullying his brother or sister, then I'm pretty sure if he's doing that at home, then he's likely that he's going to do that outside of the home as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's you know, and a lot of parents just kind of, you know, they chalk it up, and teachers as well. I remember teachers of mine chalking it up to the fact that, oh, well, they're just kids, you know, it'll toughen them up. But, you know, no, that's unacceptable. You know, it's not acceptable to be abused, to be psychologically scarred, and you can't dismiss it to childhood behavior, because it's mm-hmm. not childhood behavior. It's cruel and it's unusual, and it derives from adults.
Right. And you know, also, I think, too, if just an example of you saying that they want to chalk it up to childhood behavior, all of us know that that's not the case, because today, and you know this is true, Mike, you can turn on any local television station or national news these days, and there is always a story about a kid committing suicide, a kid being bullied so much that they thought that their life was just no longer worth living. So it's just all around us. Now, the good thing about it is that I do think, at least within my industry, within the media, that we are reporting it a lot more, because I've done many, many stories on bullying, but I don't believe that it got as much attention, I guess, as I want to say, as it's been getting right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's unfortunate that it took a string of suicides to bring attention to it, but, you know, that's the sad reality is, you know, nobody cared enough until, you know, people, you know, it became like a prevalent problem. Like, the
mm-hmm.
kids were taking their lives. And
exactly.
Like losing a child to suicide is, I mean, I can't even fathom it. You know, my partner has two kids, and he loves those kids with all of
his heart
and soul.
Yeah.
And nurtures them and treats them with dignity and respect. And the thought of, you know, like, I can't even fathom, like, how, you know, he would, it'd just be so devastating. I mean, it'd be devastating
absolutely.
To me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To, you know, to have to witness him a lot, you know, having to watch him
that.
Go through a loss like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's paramount to us, you know, especially, you know, we're both gay men, you know, that we're, you know, it's paramount. And both having suffered the brunt of bullying, we know
exactly.
the perils
for
of it
and
the repercussions. So we are so cognizant of it and conscious of it, and you know, we're so nurturing and
mm-hmm.
and you know, and then that, you know, and then that spills over to all areas of one's life, you know. And
yeah.
you know, my ultimate goal is to, you know, I remember thinking a few years ago that I really needed to make my focus not to be the richest person or the most famous person or the
mm-hmm.
most sought after photographer. It really, my goal really was to be a decent human being. And then I assumed that everything else would trickle down from
place.
There.
Yes, yes. Yes. I'm telling you, it's interesting that that you say that, because my mom is in a process where she's very sick right now. And you know, it is unfortunate when you kind of go through tough times, and I think all of us do it, where you kind of look back and you're looking at your life and you reevaluate some things. But I certainly could not agree with you more that if you know you can just become a better person, a better human being, and then you're right. I think all the other things will just certainly fall into place, and I really, 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 really do believe that. Well, let me ask you this question, because I'm getting a bunch of emails in, and also I want to just thank everybody who is joining us inside the chat room that's having their conversations with us tonight, and as well as our producer. So getting back to the whole glamour part of the modeling and all that, I think people want you to kind of focus a little bit on photography and talk a little bit about when did you realize that you had a love for that, and if you could talk about maybe some of the people that you that we might know that you've had the opportunity to take pictures of.
Yeah, sure. While I was modeling at the tail end of my modeling career, I got a camera as a gift, and I had no. I had no inkling that no previous desire to be a photographer, and I got this camera and I opened the box and had this crazy epiphany, and I just became really obsessed with photographing everything in sight. And what I would do is I would take models, if I was on a modeling job, at lunchtime I would take the models aside, the other models, and I'd do my own side photo shoots on these modeling jobs that
mm-hmm.
I was doing. And as a result, I got a bunch of pictures of models, and then they put them in their portfolios, and then their agents started asking me to shoot other models, and then just kind of snowballed from there. I started doing like some magazine work, and that led to advertising work, and then I just kind of became kind of ballsy, I always was a big advocate of conquering my fears, and
right.
I thought, I really wanted to start shooting celebrity, and I was living in Los Angeles at the time, so I was going to a gym that was heavily frequented by celebrities,
mm-hmm.
and I would just literally go up to people on the Stairmaster and ask them, tell them, hey, I'm a photographer, and I want to shoot you, and most of them would call security, but but a handful of them, were forthcoming. It totally snowballed from there, and then one year I went to London. I was doing the show circuit, like the runway shows, where you do Paris,
mm-hmm.
Milan, New York, and I was in London doing them, and I had my little photography portfolio with me. This was in 1994, and I went to the magazine stand and looked at, all the magazines that I'd want to shoot for, and I called all the editors-in-chief. Again, I was, pretty naive. I was naive. I had no idea how these things worked.
I love it.
Most of them hung up on me, but or most of them didn't even take my calls. I didn't even get through to them. But a couple of them did, and I ended up shooting editorial for a really cool, edgy magazine called Attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, that's really what kind of launched me. When that editorial came out, I just started getting calls left and right from all over the place. And
That is absolutely wonderful. Well, certainly any lesson, and a lesson that I'm taking from this conversation that we're having is about being ballsy, and that if you want to do something, just go ahead and do it, because what's the worst that could happen? Either they're going to hang up the phone, not answer the phone, or just say no. That's the worst that could happen, right?
Well, exactly, and that's the most important message of all. It's, that's what separates people who make it from people who don't. People who ask me, do I have any advice to give, somebody starting out? I'm like, yeah, just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no formula, there's no A, B, and C of anything. Like, I bucked every convention there is for becoming a photographer. I never studied photography. I never assisted. So I just picked up a camera and started shooting. Literally, I would take, dolls, Barbies and stuff, and set up little tabletop photo shoots, and that led to shooting buildings and architecture, and then people, and I kind of was inspired by people
mm-hmm.
and capturing their essence, and then I developed this whole fantasy driven thing, which again I came to realize it stems from from, you know, my desire to create a better world. You know, like the type of stuff that I shoot is very surreal in its perfection, and it's colorful and beautiful, and that's kind of what I, that's kind of how I need to see things.
That's wonderful. Wow.
Yeah,
what a great story.
Yeah,
so let me just say a quick hi for those of you that are just, if you're just joining in on the conversation, we are talking about a little bit about Mike's career, but we're also talking about bullying, because that's something that he experienced as a youth, and also very involved in the Trevor Project, which we're going to get around to talking about, Mike, I promise. And I just, again, want to thank all of you who are taking the time to listen to tonight's show at Home with Victoria and for joining us. And speaking of joining us, I guess my producer and entertainment co-host, Michael Kay, can also join in on the conversation. I know he's been patiently sitting by and waiting for us to for me to say hello. Michael, are you there?
You know, this is pure punishment when I have to listen to a good conversation and absolutely sit on my hands. I tell you, it's pure punishment.
The punishment is over.
Hi, Mike. Hello, everybody. Hello, Victoria. I'm so glad you made it, Mike. It's been a privilege of mine to study your work over the last decade, I may say, and to talk about your ballsiness by approaching the magazine editors. I think that's a Canadian thing. That's exactly what I did, too, when I wanted to work for Elizabeth Arden. I phoned the president, tried to get through, and tried to work with Elizabeth Arden. And I think that's certainly a Canadian thing, because we don't know the American rules of having to go through people. You just want to leave. I mean, you talk to the owner, and that's how you get the job done. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, that's the way I got it done. You know what? You're right. Like, in hindsight, you know, I would have been... Knowing what I know now, I'd be way too intimidated
to do it.
But you know, again, but that's not really true, because I still I'm presented with like things like that I buck convention, and I just, you know, I'm like, you know what, you know, like, people are always telling me you can't just do this, you can't just direct a movie, you never went to film school, and you know what, I'm like, you know what, watch. And you know, and I pretty much, you know, I it almost becomes a challenge at some point. But you know, I don't know if it's a Canadian thing. I think it's just a wiring thing. I know a couple of Americans who are pretty ballsy.
The same way. That's the exact same way. So maybe we should switch the conversation a little bit, Michael Kay, and I'll let you start asking questions about the Trevor Project.
Yeah, you know what, when you were talking about being bullied and stuff, it really brought back memories, too, because I'd like to go ahead and just share with the listeners my two first days of school, which set the tone for 12 years of absolute torture. On day one, going into grade one, I got my two front teeth knocked out by the... I went in through the outdoor kind of a thing, so the doorknob bashed my two front teeth in. So I was crying at that point and everything like that. So I recovered. And then the very next day, I went back to school, and I guess I was in a hurry and excited and stuff like that. So in front of my entire grade one class, I threw up my eggs. And because isn't that fun? Yeah, that's really nice, because it's really good for the butch guys. I mean, I went to preschool high school, population 1,240. There was 400 people in the entire school. And it's a town of hunting, fishing, and trapping. So a little gay boy in grade one didn't make a lot of sense. But the teacher actually made me clean up my own puke, because it was before 9 o'clock. So she got out the sand, the sawdust, and everything like that. And those are my 2 days that I was actually teased the most for being weak and girly. So what was your first big bullying incident that you knew that, oh, this is kind of what I'm going to have to put up with for a while?
You know, honestly, I blocked a lot of it out. My memories go back. My most prevalent memories are when I started overcoming bullying. I remember being, oh gosh, how old was I? I had to have been 13 at that point. It was just, you know, I was very quiet and introverted, you know, painfully introverted, as a result of, constant bullying from from the beginning of school, you know, from the first grade as well. You know, I just got it because, you know, I grew up in suburb of Montreal, which was very blue collar, and it was French Canadian, and it was like white as the driven snow, and you know, and I was ethnic. And I was Anglophone, English-speaking, in an all-French community. And, you know, there was a huge rift back then. So I had that working against me. And I was a little overweight, and, you know, and I was gay, you know. And so I got it from every
From every end, it seems,
And I, you know, and you know, sadly, my home life wasn't much comfort either. And you know, I had older brothers, and you know, they, you know, my dad, who's a wonderful man now, and he's, you know, he's totally redeemed himself. But you know, back then, you know, he was an alcoholic, and it was rough. I had a really, sad childhood. You know, when I talk, it seems like somebody else's life, because you know, things turned out so great.
For you.
That, you know, like when I talk about it, I get teary-eyed, but then I realize, I'm like, oh, wait, that's my life.
Let's go ahead and talk about that, too, just a little bit, Mike. I want to just mention just some names that I know that you've worked with: Vanessa Williams, Kelly Rowland, Jody Watley, Tracy Lord, Chantel, Kathy Griffin, Beyonce, Kelly Clarkson, Adam Lambert. I could go on and on, but do you find there's a commonality between the higher the star you get, the nicer they are, kind of a thing, because they've also gone through similar situations? I think anybody talented, which we're going to talk about Buttons Dixon in a minute, but anybody talented, anybody smart, anybody clever has always been bullied, and I think that's what actually propels you to the rise and the strength it takes to go ahead and have a career that is so demanding. What would you think?
Absolutely. I think there's a wiring. There's a commonality in people's wiring that separates them from the people who buckle under the weight of oppression and the people who prosper as a result of it. You know, who circumvent it and don't take no for an answer, and they find a way. People tell them no, they will make a yes out of it somehow. And I think it's wiring. I think, because that's really the one and only thing that separates people who make it from people who don't.
You know, I'm telling you, Mike, just like Oprah, on Oprah, she always says that she has her aha moment. And literally, I am sitting here in Washington, D.C. with my aha moment, because I don't think that I have ever really thought about what you just said, one of the differences between people who sort of make it and push themselves up to that level versus people who don't. I mean, so I just want to thank you for that, because that really is a lot of food for thought to think about that.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that I could offer that insight. But what's important to know, it's not, you know, because there are two, you know, like a bunch of different kinds of people, you know, it's not only the haves and the have-nots. You know, like the people who are wired in a specific way, I think need to assume the responsibility to lend a hand to the people who are not wired.
Okay, interesting.
That way,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So the more visible I become, the more feelings of responsibility I develop. Understanding, like, you know, because I know what it's like. You know, and it could have gone either way. You know, when I was 7 years old, I didn't know how I was wired.
Right.
You know, I could very, you know, and I had some dark times where I thought of offing myself. You know, I had fleeting thoughts of it, because it was so, you know, I got it at home, I got it at school. I mean, there was, you know, it seemed like the only way out
was to do that.
You know, and fortunately, I was wired in a very specific way where I didn't, you know, I didn't have Trevor Project, I didn't have It Gets Better campaign, you know, I didn't have the Ali Fournay Center, I didn't have all of these things at my disposal, I didn't have the internet, you know, so I couldn't really reach out to anybody.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I'm very, very fortunate that I was able to overcome all this stuff on my own. But as a result, like, I feel the responsibility to let people know that, you know, that there is a handout if you can't find you know, the will or the energy or the capacity to overcome this stuff on your own. You know, nobody's alone in this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well said.
You know,
well
now
said.
That you say that, Mike, let's go to the Trevor Project, which actually the Trevor Project was founded by writer James Lessons and the creators of the 1994 Academy Award-winning short film Trevor, which is a film comedy-drama about a gay 13-year-old boy who, when rejected by friends of his sexuality, he makes an attempt to take his life. How did you get involved with that organization, Mike? That's a fantastic organization.
It
they have a 24-hour helpline that's totally anonymous. How did you get involved with the Trevor Project?
Much like everything in my life, it was completely haphazard. Friend of mine, I didn't really know all that much about the Trevor Project, and a friend of mine, actually my good friend Chris Salgado, who's the president of Kiehl's, the beauty company Kiehl's, they do a huge amount of philanthropic stuff, and he supports several different causes, and you know he gets tables at various events. As a matter of fact, we were at the AMFAR thing last night, which was a beautiful event, but he brought me to a Trevor Project event 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
And then you know they introduced some of the youth, and they spoke, and they just told their stories, and I couldn't contain the sobbing because I was like, oh my gosh, that was me back then.
Mm-hmm.
That was I was hearing myself. It's like I went back in time and I was hearing myself, and then suddenly I propelled myself back to current time, and I was like, and now there's a solution. And it's just like I connected the two in my head, and like a big, you know, fireworks went off, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is what I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
This, I need to tell everyone about this.
Mm-hmm.
So
how
I got involved.
And Mike and Michael K, you know, too, I always believe that that when it comes to things like that and how you were able to find the Trevor Project, that there are no coincidences about things like that. Because, I mean, Mike, you probably have, I'm sure there are many, many people who wanted your time and what you do and want you to join different organizations, nonprofit, to help this person and help that person. Just because, you know, you've got that job that sort of put you out there in the limelight like that. But I really, really don't believe that in any coincidences. So I really believe in my heart that, you know, that what you're doing was exactly what was meant for you to do, to be a part of that project. I really do.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And as a result, you know, as a result of Trevor Project, like, I just became aware of other similar organizations that help, you know, youth. It seems that all roads, like things that resonate the most with me, that it all is youth related, you know, overcoming, like, because I think, you know, they're still malleable, and, you know, they still need to know that there's hope and that they have options, and like, and I've bridged, you know, like I've been able to bridge the gap between the two, you know, for my own life. So like, I really feel like it's my like duty to reach my hand back and say, you know what, you guys, these are all your options. You're not alone in this. So like like Trevor Project is one of many organizations that I work with, but they're all, you know, they're all LGBT related and youth related, and not all youth related. I mean, I do stuff for GMHC, which is, you know, the Gay Men's Health Crisis, and but basically, you know, it's just like cross pollinating. Like they all, you know, they all have a commonality, which is, you know, helping the LGBT community overcome any obstacles that we have now.
Absolutely.
It's a pretty good point, Mike. And you know, the funny thing, I just want to go ahead and make mention that it's not only bullying, is not only in the LGBT. I want to go ahead and bring on the line a 9-year-old girl who I just fell in love with. Her name is Buttons Dixon. I sense her being the next Raven and the next Brandy. She's a singer, she's an actress, and has 9 years old and already being bullied, Mike. How can you even realize that to be true? I can't remember. Of course, I remember 9 years old and being bullied, but this little girl is just a bundle of talent, and I'm going to go ahead and bring her on the edge. Mike, just go ahead and stay on the line. But Buttons and Barbara, Buttons, are you there?
Yes, sir. Hello.
Hi, Buttons.
Yes, sir, honey. Speak up, honey. You sound good.
I'm here. How is everybody?
There we go.
Buttons, this is Victoria, and Mike is with us, and Michael K. We are so happy to have you here. So, Buttons, let's get you into the conversation. We'll talk a little bit about your music career and all that good stuff that you've got going on. But we want to just get you in the conversation while we still have Mike on the line, because I know he's busy and probably has other things to do tonight. But talk to us about the bullying that you've been through and how that made you feel.
Well, I got ganged by 5 girls. After I cheered, I got ganged by 4 or 5 girls in the bathroom. And then another set of girls, they started pulling my hair and threatening me that they were going to cut out my hair.
Mm.
And they wouldn't sit with me at lunch. They started throwing food at me.
Very, very,
and
very unfortunate.
Me the playground.
I'm so sorry.
And Buttons, how did you deal with that being at your age, being 9 years old? Did you go and tell a teacher or tell your parents? What did you do?
I told my grandmas, and I told the teachers, but they couldn't really control the kids.
Mm. Now, how does that make you feel?
It doesn't really feel good. It didn't really feel good being bullied.
Yeah, you know, that's awful. Behind Buttons, this is Mike here. That's. You know, it's terrible, and you know, and this is what we need to change. You know, it's really important, Buttons, that you continue talking to people about this.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't keep it quiet. And if people, if somebody like your teachers or you know, they say they can't do anything, find somebody who can do something, because there is somebody out there who can do something, because bullying is abuse, and
yes.
If it's not illegal, it's going to be illegal very soon.
Yeah. Very, very, very much.
I'm Buttons' grandmother, Barbara. The thing that got me was the school was aware of everything. I was going to the school every day.
Mm-hmm.
And the principal, it was a private school, the principal didn't want the enrollment to drop. So they told me if I didn't like it to withdraw her. But at that point,
really?
She was a nervous wreck. She cried every day. I cried because it was nothing I could do to help my baby. And
right.
it was horrible. And then they told her that she's Arab. Her father is Arabic. So they told her that she was a terrorist. They called her Bin Laden's granddaughter. I mean, it was horrible. She cried because she didn't understand all of that. And so I knew these kids were getting these things from their parents. And what the mother... Right. One mother sent me an email and told me that she felt like the kids didn't like Buttons because she's never been told no. You know what? They didn't understand. Buttons was the only grandchild, the only child, and only niece. So, you know, it left a lot of doors open for her. But my baby was tortured so bad that we withdrew her and homeschooled her last year. She was terrified to go to school. She is still in counseling to this day.
And you know, Barbara, something Mike and I talked about, I don't know if you guys got a chance to listen to the top half of the show, and Mike, you can make this point again once I be quiet, and, you know, you talked about how it really starts at home with the parents. It starts at home, you know?
Yes, and the parents are aware of what their children are doing. As a matter of fact, I begged the principal to set up a meeting so I could meet with the other parents because I wanted to get it resolved.
Absolutely.
And she refused to do that. And I called one parent on the phone, and that parent told me, well, children are going to be children. I said, well, this is what causes children to go into depression. Buttons' hair started falling out. She cut her hair. I mean, you name it, it happened.
It happened to her.
Yeah,
Mike, you go ahead. We were just talking about that, weren't we?
Yeah,
that's the really unfortunate thing is that people just dismiss it as being natural behavior. There's nothing natural about abuse.
No, it's not. And Buttons wasn't used to that. You know, she's an only child, so she didn't have any siblings to fight with. She's raised by 2 older grandmothers. So, you know, she didn't know anything about that. And even to this day, I am overprotective of her. I'm afraid someone is going to hurt her feelings, or mm-hmm. I get nervous when she go around other children.
Right.
I am a nervous wreck. I'm not comfortable with her being around. I always feel like they're going to pick on her.
Something's going to happen, yeah.
Yeah, and she's at Nelson's.
Wow.
She's in a very good school. They have bullying classes. But every day when I pick her up from school, instead of me telling her I love her, whatever, I'm like, did anybody bother you today? Anybody do anything to you? It's a hurting feeling. Any parent that has not gone through that, they don't know how lucky they are.
Well, it's really important that you continue, you know, showing that support. Because basically what keeps youth from, you know, from becoming really depressed and you know, and having, you know, disparaging thoughts about themselves is having somebody, you know, having a beacon of hope. And you know, and you're that beacon of hope for Buttons.
Yeah.
And it's so important that somebody is nurturing her in that way.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, so that you know, that all the other voices become, you know, they become inconsequential.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right.
Well,
true.
And you know too what I'm thinking. Well, you know too what I'm thinking of. And Michael K, you can pick up after I'm done with this point. Is that I think also Barbara and Michael and Michael K. I think it's also very important when it's you as a parent that actually when your kids say that, hey, this is what I'm going through, that you actually validate them and say, yes, I believe you. Yes, this is wrong. Yes, I believe you when you say somebody pushed you up against the locker. I believe you when you say this, because I think the worst thing that we can do as adults is, and Michael and Mike, I think you mentioned this too, is to not to take the kid serious, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know your children, and when I would pick her up in the afternoon, she would have the saddest look, and when I would drop her off in the morning, tears would be in her eyes, and it broke my heart. It really did, and to this day, I am still hurt over the fact that she had to deal with that and go through that, them throwing food in her hair. They know, everybody knows she's afraid of insects, so they would chase her around the playground, and someone had seen her on TV, and they went back to school and told it, and that's when they turned on her.
Well,
you know,
that's...
And quite frankly, too... Yeah, it's so tragic, but you know, again, the bullied people, us bullied people,
right.
get the spoils, so to
right.
speak. Mike with his career, and now I'm very, very excited because I've been saving this too. Michael Reed doesn't even know this right now, but Buttons is very active in acting. She has a commercial that she's filming. She's starting a movie this weekend, and she's actually dropping her EP and debuting her single, Move Your Feet, tonight on our show. So this is
awesome.
The absolute first time you'd be hearing it. So everybody just stick on the line, and this is Buttons Dixon with Move Your Feet.
One stage.
Okay.
To all my haters spinning around, bet you didn't know I'm about to give it to you.
buttons, dicks, and move your feet, and yay,
yes,
buttons.
That was amazing.
Yes. That's what happens when you're bullied.
I got my hands in the air.
Me too. That was so awesome.
That was awesome, girl. You got some talent.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Mike, you got some good fashion music to play during your shoots, and actually
there
will be a day when you're going to end up shooting buttons for
exactly.
his cover.
Exactly.
Well, I was going to say, I hope it's soon, and buttons, call me if you need a CD cover, because I will hook you up.
Oh. That sounds great.
Cool. So buttons, listen.
Fantastic.
So buttons, listen. It is very clear to anyone who listens to that song that you definitely do have talent, and Mike is a perfect example of somebody who was bullied. Now he's this big time fashion photographer who's out there doing his thing. But Mike, it's so interesting because and Barbara, I don't know if again you heard the top of the show, but Mike is actually saying that it's actually people that are at that level that are very, very successful, and a lot of them have actually had to endure being bullying and dealing with this type
yes.
of stuff.
Yes. That's true. That is so true.
You know, I mean, shouldn't become a rule of thumb of how to be successful. But the reality is as unfortunate as bullying it is, it does prepare you for, you know, it's strange, but you know, in grade school, it prepares you for the rest of your life.
Yes,
right. That's what we were afraid of, that she would start to hate school, and that's why we took her out and homeschooled her. And it's so ironic about the song Move Your Feet, because the young lady that wrote the song, Tiffany Green, was not aware of anything that was going on. When she wrote the song and brought it to us, she said, this song is just the inspiration of being bullied, the kids that are being bullied, and let them know that they can move their feet to the music, you know, and dance to the beat instead of fighting. And it touched us in a very special way because she didn't know that. You know, so it's been rough.
It's good to know, too, because actually Tiffany Green is in the chat room. Steve
McGraw, yes,
she smile
is.
For him.
She is so
Gina,
proud.
To you, Mar Ben, our lovely producer, Linda Lively, Catherine Taddy, a bunch of new guests, Victoria, with Barbara Dixon. So I want to go ahead and thank everybody for tuning in and everything. Mike, I know your time is limited, but I want to go ahead and point out a few things. The A-List New York, is there a second season coming out?
There sure is.
Ooh.
Fantastic.
Keep an
eye
out for
that. I know you're on Facebook, but just for, you know, folks that want to kind of follow you, you got your own website and all that good stuff where we can
absolutely,
follow your career?
Absolutely. The best way to check out what I'm doing is to go to Facebook. Both Facebook and Twitter, my name is Mike Ruiz 1. So it's facebook.com/MikeRuiz1 and Twitter/MikeRuiz1. So you can follow me there. And then my website's just MikeRuiz.com.
Well, listen,
right.
I know
all that information is in chat.
Yeah, and listen, Mike, I know you probably spent we kept you a little bit longer than what we did, but certainly
I'm
sure Barbara will agree on this, but certainly know that that the information that you gave tonight and you being a part of this discussion, like I completely feel like I want to cry. I think it helped a lot of people.
Yes.
I hope so. I just hope that's my goal. My goal is just to kind of like, you know, keep the message going and to, you know, to have the younger generation be strong and to know that there's a wonderful, amazing, incredible life and world waiting for them.
That's wonderful.
Great.
Well, thank you, darling.
Mike, thanks again so much. And please consider At Home with Victoria your home too, Mike, and keep us abreast of anything. And I'd like to go ahead and call on you again sometime for doing these kind of shows, because this is an epidemic that I really would like to see stopped in my lifetime. It's unnecessary, it is hurtful, and it serves no greater purpose. But to have people like us go ahead and get together. Mike, I thank you so much. You're my silent hero. I'm an amateur photographer myself. But, buddy, you're just a great guy, and love to Martin and the kids. And thanks a lot for taking the time.
Let's have Buttons get a chance to say goodbye to Mike also, because I have a feeling you two guys should meet up one of these days.
I know.
I
go
have
ahead,
a
Buttons.
Funny feeling we're going to.
Oh, Mr. Mike?
buttons,
Mr. Mike,
viewers. Yes.
I love the photos that you did, especially the one with the girls on RuPaul, especially the one with the girls jumping on the trampoline with snow coming down.
Oh, you saw that? Oh, thank you, Buttons. That was fun. That was a lot of fun to do. Hopefully, we'll be working together very soon. As a matter of fact, let's try and make that happen.
That sounds good.
All right.
Thank you, Buttons. You're a great guy, man.
And Buttons
you.
And Barbara, you guys don't go anywhere because we still, I think we have a couple more minutes left, Michael K, that we can talk to them. So Buttons, have you always loved music and dancing and acting?
Yes.
And
loved it.
And you've decided that this is going to be your career and this is what you really want to do, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I want to thank you so much for.
It.
I want to thank you so much for giving us the opportunity and debuting your song nationally tonight on our show. So I'm just definitely tickled pink about that. And Buttons, what advice would you give kids your age if somebody is out there bullying them?
Well, here's what I would say. I would just say ignore them. Ignore them while they're talking to you. Just walk away. Just tell or just walk away or just don't even listen to them. Act like you can't even hear them.
That sounds good to me. And Barbara, how can we? I just like to ask you this as an adult. How can folks follow Buttons in her career and get that album? Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, the CD will be released on next Friday, February 18th. It'll be available at CD Baby, iTunes, all the online stores. Even if you have a Verizon cell phone, you can get it through that. And you keep up. You can follow her on Facebook.com Buttons Dixon or Twitter.com Buttons Dixon. The last name spelled D-I-C-K-S-O-N.
Well, listen, you guys have heard it, and I have no doubt that Buttons, and not only Buttons, the Barbara, that you guys will be back on our show again
Thank
to visit.
You.
And Barbara, literally from the bottom of my heart, I just think that you guys should continue to do and to support her, because like you said, you know, no one in the world, whether you're a parent or a child, should have to go through something like this. And let me ask you this: what advice would you give other parents that, since you have been in that situation, but on the flip side, from being a parent, would you give them?
If you have gone to the principal, the thing that a lot of people doesn't realize is private schools have their own set of rules.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to the principal and nothing changed, it's best to snatch your child completely out.
Mm-hmm.
News stations, the newspaper, no one wants to hear a story on private schools. Everything is hush-hush.
Right.
Everything.
Yeah.
And so it's best to take them out. And I thank God that we were able to take her out, homeschool her last year, and was blessed with another good Christian school where did they have bullying classes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has really helped her a lot.
I'm sitting here, Michael K., Buttons and Barbara, as we speak, and I'm on your Facebook page. And I'm looking at Buttons, some of your pictures, and my favorite one is you look like you're texting on your phone, and you've got this pretty yellow shirt on.
Yes,
yellow.
Her best friend, Jay.
Yeah. And you got those pretty yellow heart earrings on and this pretty yellow band in your hair. You look so cute in that picture. That's my favorite one. And one thing, Barbara, I wanted to say that I love about Buttons, and Michael K., I know you're going to agree, is that all of her pictures are just very tasteful because she is a young kid. You know what I mean?
Right.
We spiced
it up.
Yeah,
a
Barbara,
bit
and
for
thanks,
her CD
thanks for
cover.
Doing that too. Thanks for doing an age appropriate photo shoot. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, because I shoot all of her pictures, and we spiced it up a little bit for her CD cover. That was one of those pictures that we were thinking about using. So
mm-hmm.
we just spiced it up, but ordinary, no makeup, no color weave in her hair or anything
mm-hmm.
like that.
Yeah. It just looks like Michael K. said, very, very age appropriate.
Thank you.
I don't know.
Now I'm looking so forward to see what Mike Ruiz will do with Buttons. That'll be a great photo shoot to go ahead and advance
my
their attention.
Goodness.
Mike is still in the chat and everything like that, so I want to go ahead and say thanks to him again and stuff.
Yeah.
Mike, you're a fantastic guy, and I know you're hanging on, but Want to go back to the chat, a couple questions. Buttons, love you. Catherine Taddy, Barbara,
love
thanks for
too.
Being so supportive to Buttons. My grandmother was my hero, too. You can find Buttons on Facebook, The Entertainer. You can also find Buttons on Twitter and MySpace as well, which is really good to know.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and check it out there. Want to make a quick mention back to chat. Thanks a lot to guest 12151, guest 12155, guest 13942, 13952, 13954, 9809, 9847. Catherine Taddy, thanks for joining us. Linda Lively, great job in chat. Marilyn Bennett, always a pleasure to see my ladies. And Gina from California is also in the chat, as well as Stephen McGraw. So I'm going to go ahead and give thanks to all of our listeners, all of the new listeners and existing listeners. I can't thank you. And Tiffany Green as well.
Thank you. Well, Benton and Barbara, thank you guys so much for joining us and spending time with us this evening on At Home with Victoria. And I'm sure this will not be your last time on.
No,
we
won't.
We admire you guys. And keep up the good work, okay?
Thank you for having us.
You
all have a good night.
Okay, bye, Buttons. Bye, Barbara.
You got it, baby.
Bye. Have a good night.
Hey, Mike, you take care. We'll chat soon, Mike. I can't wait to go ahead and get together and maybe do some karaoke with you. I'll be in New York on the 21st.
Oh, fantastic.
So if you're there, we'll
get together. I'm all over the karaoke.
I'd like to get a videotape of that.
Oh, that'll be on YouTube. Don't you worry.
Mike, you're the best for taking the time out today. Thanks for the hour of your time. I really appreciate it.
My absolute pleasure. Hope to do it soon again.
We appreciate it.
Thanks,
Mike. And definitely, you know, you guys don't know, but I can certainly vouch for that, Mike, okay? People like Mike, their schedules are really, really busy in terms of their lifestyle and being a photographer and shooting and not doing that stuff and being at this event and that event. So for him to give At Home with Victoria an entire hour of his time, you know, he definitely should know that we are very honored and appreciative because I know he's just going to be able to help so many people by literally what he talked about tonight.
I hope so.
Yeah, plus he's so nice and he's really sexy and he's not fat anymore either. Have you seen his pictures? He's really, really buff.
And Mike is still here on the line with us.
I know. That's why I'm saying it. No, seriously, that body. You're a child.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's so funny.
Mike. Oh, wait. Everybody be quiet because I forgot over this. So, Mike, you've got something going on where somebody, folks can win a photo shoot with you. We've neglected to ask you about that.
Oh, you know, that ends tonight at midnight. What you have to do is post a picture. Well, yeah, I mean, it's still going strong. If you post a picture on my fan page, Mike Ruiz 1 on Facebook, if you post a picture and then you have to ask all your friends to like that picture, and whoever has the most likes will win a photo shoot with me.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, absolutely, the next time you do something like that, make sure you mention it to myself or Michael K via email so we can pump that up because I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I reposted it. No problem.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be doing another one late spring, like in May. So keep an eye out for that. I'll definitely give you guys the heads up.
We'll certainly
thanks
do
a lot,
that.
Mike.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you guys so much. It was my...
Thank
Michael
you.
K,
love to Martin
we...
and the kids. Okay.
Okay. We'll do.
And Michael K, are we going to, let's see, before we get off the air, we've probably got a couple more minutes. You are going to be headed to New York. Tell us about that quickly, and then we're going to end with a song from Kobe tonight, or who are we going to listen to tonight?
Kobe, absolutely. I've added a couple extra minutes. So, yeah, I was just okay today from the Indie Soap Awards, the second annual Indie Soap Awards, to go ahead and get press clearance. To go ahead and interview the cast of Pretty and to report on the event, and that's on the 21st of February, which is Monday, starting at 7 o'clock. So I'm very excited. It's my first on the red carpet kind of thing. Plus, one of our guests, Erin Brown, Hot as the Red Carpet, is actually going to be there too. She was confirmed too. So both of us are going to go head-to-head and see who does the best red carpet. We were talking about it on Facebook today, so it'll be good, and you'll get actually to see the footage of that. So it'll be very, very fun. I'm very, very pleased.
And make sure you take pictures also of you and Erin on the red carpet just so that your fans and all of our followers would be able to see that. Well, Michael K., this has been an excellent show. There again, because these kind of shows almost bring me to tears because I know how critical these issues are in many, many lives of thousands and thousands of people, not only in the U.S., but also in other countries as well. So the message tonight, I think what basically Mike said, and I completely agree with him, is that it all starts at home. So parents, you know, do your jobs and, you know, let your children know that the bullying, it is just simply not acceptable. I think about my mother, for example. If I even dare to even think that I was going to bully somebody else, I knew that I was going to get in a lot of trouble. So it never ever crossed Victoria Gaither's mind that was ever something that I would do, nor was I ever interested in doing something like that. But we do want to just thank everybody, and we're going to continue to follow this subject as we've got some upcoming shows that we're going to talk about bullying on At Home with Victoria, because it is a subject that we are very serious about and also want to join in the national conversation as well as the debate on this topic. So in any event, we're going to end with a song tonight. Michael K., tell us what it is.
Yeah, one of our favorite guys, Mr. Kobe Cole, actually is going to go ahead and be singing us out to What More Can I Say. I just want to go ahead and make mention, Victoria, thanks for letting me do these kind of shows with you, because I do find it to be a very, very important subject. I really think we need to go ahead and step in where we need to be. And so I thank you for that courtesy, allowing me as entertainment co-host to go ahead and plan these kind of things. It was a great show, and I want to thank once again Button Dixon, Barbara Dixon, and Mike Ruiz for joining us tonight. But I love you, honey, and let's go to Cole, What More Can I Say? Pay attention. Thanks to all the listeners. Give a listen. Good night, everybody.
I would do anything you'd say just be mine. What more can I say? I would do anything you say, if you would just be mine. What more can I say? Is not a lot to give, baby, if I'm giving it to you. Anything that's nice to give, I don't have to think twice to give. That's how much I love you, Daddy. That's how much I love you. I said that's how much I love you. That's how much I love you. Thank you.
I love that.